Amen. Good morning, peace. Good morning. What a joy and an honor to be here this morning. When I received the invitation from Jim to speak to you this morning, quite frankly, I was a little bit nervous. And I'm even nervous now. Amen. But I told Jim, so I was in his office earlier this week, and he's been such a great mentor and coach to me during my time here. And he said to me, he said, John, he said, don't worry about whether the sermon is going to be good or not. He said, what you should worry about is, did you leave blood on the altar? I said, well, so you know who to blame. Amen. Yeah, and appropriately, I have my red on this morning, so if you don't see any blood, at least we came close. Amen. Well, my name is John, John Vower, and I am with Mosaic Mission, a.k.a. Mosaic Church. We are excited to be here at Peace. When I met Johannes Mengster about 3 months ago, it was on Father's Day morning. And I was, it was one of those mornings where I really didn't want to talk to any preacher that morning. But, you know, if you know anything about Dr. Johannes, I call him Dr. Yo, you'll know he has a $1 million smile. And all he has to do is flash that smile at you, and it just, it makes your day, you know? He has the smile that says, the word is my oyster, and with a smile, I will open it. Amen. And so he met me and my family that morning, and he introduced himself, and he told us about Peace. And at the time, I was a struggling church planter out there, not knowing where I was going to go and not knowing what I was going to do next, and just believing and trusting God that he had this in his control. And we were doing his will. And lo and behold, came along Dr. Johannes, and the rest is history. Hopefully one of these days I will have the opportunity to tell you a little bit about my story. But my assignment this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And I'd like to thank Bradley for such a beautiful read of the Gospel this morning. But I've always been fascinated with the Gospel of John. I'm fascinated with John's Gospel for a number of reasons. You will notice when you read the four Gospels, there is a difference between all four of the Gospels. The first three Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because the first three pretty much are similar in a way. They give you sort of a biography of the life of Christ. They give you a chronological order, so to speak, even though Mark starts his story somewhere in the middle. Amen? We know that Matthew is written to Jews because Matthew has another purpose in mind. Matthew is trying to establish being a Jew and being a tax collector, being a man of record. Matthew is trying to establish for his fellow Jews that this is, in fact, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the one who was promised from old. He says, behold, he comes through the volumes of the books, through 42 generations to do thy will, O God. And so Matthew, when he gives us his gospel, he takes us all the way through the genealogy, and he takes us from the cradle to the grave. When Mark gets ready to give us his gospel, we know Mark is establishing Jesus as a suffering servant, the Son of Man. He is, in fact, God in the flesh. And so Mark gives us an account that starts somewhere in the middle, but is as well synoptic in the sense of comparison to the first three gospels. But when you get to the Gospel of John, John switches gear on us, and John says, I appreciate Matthew, I appreciate Mark, and I thank God for the good Dr. Luke. But I have a deeper revelation of who this Christ is. I have a deeper revelation of who God is, of who Jesus is. Because you see, I walked with him and I talked with him. I had meals with him. In fact, history tells us that John was perhaps the youngest of the disciples. And John lived out all of the rest of the disciples. Of course, this was prophetic because Jesus has said something and spoken about John at some time during his ministry. And the disciples interpreted it as John will never die. He's going to live forever. And Jesus said, no, I didn't say that. But true to the word of Christ, of course, John lived for a very long time. John refused to die. In fact, Fox's book of Martyr tells us that at some point John was dipped in boiling oil by a Roman emperor because of his faith and his belief in Jesus Christ, and he still will not die. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, you can refuse to die. Touch your other neighbor and say, other neighbor, it's okay to refuse to die. Because you see, sometimes when as life goes on and things come against you, you need to get to a place and come to a place where you understand that as a believer and as a child of God, you have the ability and you have the power to say no. I wish I had a church in here this morning. Amen. let me put it another way. The scripture says, John tells us, he said, let me tell you about this Christ. He said, in the beginning was the Word. He is the same one who was in the beginning with the Father. He said, I know you want me to tell you about how he came from the cradle through the grave. And it's a great story and it's beautiful because we need to understand that he is in fact the Theanthropos, the God-man, the one who God sent and who came in the flesh for our redemption and for our salvation. He said that is very important and that is very crucial. But let me give you a deeper revelation of who this Christ is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that Word in the Greek is logos. Somebody say logos. That means a word or a reason. That means logic. So what John is telling us is that in the beginning was logic. In the beginning, there was a mind that began the beginning. John is trying to tell us that mind precedes matter. Contrary to what popular science believes. How many of you remember the old television show where Carl Sagan would come on and he would say, the universe is all there is. The universe has always been and will always be. The universe has no beginning. But John is saying, no. You have it wrong, Carl, because you see, mind precedes matter. Before anything existed, there was a reason. There was an intelligent mind that brought everything that you see now into existence. That mind is called Jesus. He was in the beginning with the Father, and nothing that is made was made without him, because he is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. He said that light shines in darkness, and the darkness has never been able to comprehend it. The darkness has never been able to quench the light. This is the light. He said, but here is the mystery. Here is the mystery. And this is what fascinates me about the Gospel of John. My title this morning, by the way, is called The Power to Become, just in case you were wondering. Amen. He said, and this is what fascinates me about the Gospel of John. John is the most theological of the three. Like I said before, John, unlike the synoptic gospel, writes to believers. He writes to the church to help ground and establish us theologically regarding the deity of Christ. John tells us that mind precedes matter and not the other way around. John tells us that the Logos, okay? the full expression of everything God has been saying to us through the ages has now been made flesh and place in our midst. This is love personified. This is love demonstrated. He came into our mess as a real flesh and blood human being, not as Superman, not as a bionic man, but as a real flesh and blood human being, and exchanged his righteousness for our unrighteousness, his perfection for our imperfection. John tells us that this divine exchange took place because of his love for us, and because he had always purposed to reconcile us and restore us to our rightful place as sons, as children of God, as heirs, joint heirs, inheritors of spiritual blessings. This is why it happened. This is why he came in the flesh. This is the importance of the Advent, even in this season, as we celebrate the Advent, this period of preparation, of anticipation, where we await eagerly and anxiously his return. But you see, throughout history, perhaps every group of people, about 90% of population that has ever existed on the earth, has always existed in the in-between. But how many of you know that in between prophecy and promise, there is a process? Promise points to fulfillment. But in between the promise and fulfillment, there is always a waiting. And there are a lot of times it is in the midst, it's in the in-between, is when we're waiting that we tend to give up. It is in the waiting that we tend to lose hope. It is in the waiting that we tend to lose our way. It is in the waiting that we tend to say, this is not worth it. But how many of you know that God is not slack concerning his promises? I said God is not slack concerning his promises. Why is this important? Some may ask. Here is the heart of the matter, and I will close this out. The heart of the matter, the fact that Jesus came in the flesh to do the will of the Father for our redemption, for our reconciliation, for our restoration. The scripture says in verse 13 of John chapter 1, "For as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God." He's giving us the right to be children of God. You have the right to be who God says you are. You have the right to become who God says you can become. Why is this important? See, you can never be like Superman, says Bull and Turner in their 52 Greatest Stories of the Bible devotional. You can never learn to fly or concentrate hard enough to have X-ray vision. But you can be like Jesus. Jesus is more than our Savior and our Lord. He's not just a teacher. He is a model of what life can be like when it's fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did what he did because he was filled with the Spirit. This means something absolutely astonishing for those of us who follow him. I'm going to give you three things this means, and I'll be out of your way. Number one, it is actually possible for us to live like Jesus did and to live a life totally surrendered to and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number two, it means we are able to carry out God's plans and to continue the mission that Jesus began during his earthly life and ministry. And to find your mission, if you so choose, I would direct you to Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Luke 4:18 and 19 says that Jesus After he had been tempted, he came into the synagogue and he was giving the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to mend the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free." Amen. Number three, it means we are able to live in harmony with God and in touch with his power. And this is where I like to end this. We're able to live in harmony with God and in touch with his power. This is the meaning of the power to become. So for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become, the power, the authority, the exousia, to become the sons of God. What comes with sonship? What comes with that inheritance? What comes? What does that mean to you in your daily walk and in your daily life? I tell you what it should mean, if you so choose. It should mean that you should be able to look sickness and disease square in the face and say, "I'm a child of God, here and no further." It should mean that whatsoever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. What that means is, whatsoever you permit in the earth realm is permitted in the heavenlies. That means you have power, you have right, you have authority. If you permit homosexuality to be the order of the day, it will be permitted. But if you stand your ground and say no here and no further, heaven backs you because you are a child of the King. Come on, if you believe it this morning, put your hands together and give God praise. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Most gracious and everlasting Father, we bless you and we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that the flower fades and the grass withers, but your word stands forever. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And by your word, you created everything that there is. We thank you, Lord, that you've said concerning us that you've given us the power to become sons of God, to become like you, to fulfill your will, to complete your mission, and to be all that you've called us to be. So this morning, we bless you and we thank you that we can walk in that power, in the here and now, and we can experience your goodness and your mercies in tangible ways. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Amen.